broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Alright folks, we're a little behind, moving along quickly. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca and we're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Up next is Alex Cooper, who's the author of Saving Alex. When I was 15, I told my Mormon parents I was gay, and that's when my nightmare began. That's the longest subtitle of any book we've ever had on the show. But it kind of suits, and it kind of sums it up quite nicely. On the phone with her also is Joanna Brooks, a co-author, and Joanna is a recognized expert on Mormonism and gender and LGBT issues. As Associate Vice President for Faculty Affairs at San Diego State University, she's the author of the Book of Mormon Girl. SavingAlex.org is the website you want to go to, and Alex and Joanna are on the phone. Hello, Alex, are you there?
Yeah. Hi.
And Joanna, you're there as well. Fantastic. Let's jump right into it because I realize that, Alex, you've got to go. First of all, how's the media treated you so far? How has this story gone down? How have the interviews gone, Alex?
Pretty nerve-wracking, but I think they're okay. I think I'm doing all right.
Has anybody been a jerk to you? Give me their name. I'll take care of them.
Not yet.
All right. Good. But Joanna, we'll get to you at the end because I know Alex has to go, so we'll spend a little more time with you at the end.
And Drew, I just want to say this is Alex's very first time on the radio, so...
No, it is not. Yeah. Really? I just want to apologize for me being your first radio person. All the other ones, I'm sure, will be very smooth and very professional, and I'm a putz. Okay? Just want to say that. Alex, how long, as you look back, do you think you had to hide what you knew? How long were you hiding?
Not very long. I came out to my parents really, really soon after I realized that I was gay.
Right. You know what? I don't want to start the interview like that. I want to start the interview like this. Alex, from what I know of your story, I am so sorry that it went down the way it went down. I'm happy to hear that there's a bit of reparation, that things are, you know, a heck of a lot better with your parents. But, dude, what a crap way to go through all of this. I'm so, so sorry that you had to endure what you endured. That's how I want to start this interview.
Thank you. It's good, though. I went through it, and now I'm happy, and I live in Portland, and it's great.
Good. All right. Everybody wants to know what the decision or why you made the decision to come out. Was it just because you couldn't hide anymore? You wanted to live authentically, or was there some other event or thing that happened that made you come out to your parents?
I just needed to do it. My mom actually thought I had a boyfriend at the time, and I got really frustrated with her and just told her I was gay.
Oh, so it was just like your mom and you were butting heads and you just came out with it?
Yeah.
Man, that's the ultimate curveball, isn't it? What was her reaction? What happened? Set this thing up. Oh, my goodness. So one of those moments where you feel kind of creepy, sort of in a voyeuristic way. You're like, but you really want to be a fly in the wall in that sort of scenario. What happened?
Obviously, they didn't react super well. I could tell they were hurt and disappointed. But I definitely want to keep my parents protected as much as possible because this wasn't just hard for me. It was also extremely hard for them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And again, we'll get to the point where, you know, things are way better now, but it took a while for that to get there. So how long did you live at home before you were sent to the fix-it place?
The day I came out to my parents, I actually left home and stayed with a friend for a while, for a couple weeks. And then my parents picked me up from my friend's house and drove me to Utah.
Where you thought you were going to somebody else's place?
Yeah, I thought I was going to go visit my grandparents.
And at what point did you realize you weren't going to your grandparents? When you pulled up to the place that wasn't your grandparents?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to my grandparents' house, started unpacking my stuff from the car, and they started packing it right back up, and we drove a few minutes to where I would be living.
Oh, okay. So hold on. So they took you to your grandparents' place first. So it was a legit, okay, we're going to grandparents' place. And then you start unpacking, and they told you, what did they tell you? You need to pack up, we're going somewhere else?
Yes.
And did they explain to you at that point where you were going?
No. No, I didn't really get it until after my parents had dropped me off and left, and it all started to sink in.
So they drop you off, and there's, you say that they signed over their parental authority to this facility, to these people in front of you?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
boy.
That was a hard thing to see.
Yeah. What a tough moment. Okay. So now you're at this place, and this place claims to be able to fix gay people with religion. Is that basically it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you talk about some of the punishment that you went through. You know, stuff in the publicity that's out there says you had to stand against a wall for how long and kind of watch everybody and be attentive? It was like hours, right?
Yeah, hours and hours. Looking back, I don't know how I did it.
She had to face the wall. So she was stood in the family home, in the home where she was kept, and she faced the wall while life went on around her as a punishment for hours and hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alex, let me ask you, if you had the opportunity to go back to that place, I'm not saying you would or should or whatever. First of all, I'm freaking out even asking the questions. So would you take that opportunity? Would you want to go back and talk to the people that ran the facility and explain stuff to them or not at all?
I've actually been thinking about that. I can't decide whether I want to knock on their door and bring them a book or not.
Yeah.
It might be something that I do later on, but not right now.
So again, I keep forgetting. I know the story, but our listeners don't. Basically, your parents dropped you off at this. It was a house, I guess, and it's a residential treatment program that offer quote unquote therapeutic boot camps. You know, a boot camp, sort of a we are going to fix your gayness with the help of God, and
yeah,
it was exactly the opposite. A, they didn't fix you, and B, I don't think God had anything to do with that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Crazy. It's just all crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty good word to hunker down on. Let me ask Alex, because screwy God people did screwy things with you in order to fix you, most people would throw out God as a result of that. What did you do with God after this?
I am definitely taking a break from all religion. I think that's the healthiest thing for me right now.
I agree. Man. I mean, at what point did you realize... I have like 17 questions coming into my brain at this one moment. At what point did you realize that these people... I don't know. Am I putting words in your mouth by saying these people were evil? Is that too harsh?
No, I don't think that's too harsh.
What was the first point when you realized that this wasn't just a nice group of people that were going to help you through gay stuff, quote unquote, but that these people were evil, doing evil things? What was the first point that you realized this?
The first day I was there, they could obviously tell how uncomfortable I was, and it was just the most hilarious thing to them. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, what kind of people am I living with right now?
Because you were really uncomfortable, they sensed it, and they thought that was hilarious?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's whack.
I think that was when the light went off that I had to get out of there.
What was the tipping point, Alex, for you to... You know, when I was 15, I got to a point where I tried to kill myself and ended up in the hospital, and it wasn't a good thing. Obviously, that was a long time ago. With you, it wasn't that long ago. You did get to a point of being suicidal. Was there a tipping point for that? What was it that made that switch kind of flip in you and say, you know what, I life's not worth it anymore?
Well, I tried to get out a couple different times, a couple different ways, and it just wasn't working. And I was convinced that I would be there for years and years, and I couldn't do it. And so, as a birthday present to myself, my 16th birthday, I tried and obviously did not succeed.
So you tried to escape?
Yeah, yes.
And they caught you? I mean, or you just didn't work?
I tried to pass notes at the grocery store to strangers, even at the football game, and nothing worked out for me.
So the strangers got the notes, or that you never got the notes to them, or they got the notes and they didn't believe them? You know, like what happened? That was it. Oh, man.
One of the notes I passed was actually to a friend of theirs. I have no idea.
Oh, no. And you didn't know it was their friend?
No, I didn't. One of the times I passed a note to a lady at the grocery store, and it was just grabbed out of her hands by a husband that ran the treatment center. And, nothing seemed to work out.
So you're there for 10 months, correct?
Correct.
How did it change you? They thought it was going to change you one way, but how did it actually change you? Aside from shelving religion for a while, because that was the premise of the goofiness, but how did those 10 months change you, Alex?
Well, I obviously had a really different relationship with my parents for a while, and I think the biggest thing, though, is living in Portland now, I just want to focus on being happy and doing things that make me happy and the people around me happy. And that's something that I think about every day. How grateful I am to not be at that house standing at a wall.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, we want to focus on how things are with your parents right now. And from what I've read and heard from you as well, things are better. But help us understand what that means. What does better look like?
My parents accept me for who I am. They love my girlfriend. We FaceTime my parents a couple times a week. And I'm able to just share what's going on with my life and not feel judged. I feel supported.
So how did they change their mind? What was it?
I cut them out for a while, and I think they realized that they would rather have me in their life than to not have any contact with me. And
Wow. Well, I want to ask you finally, you know, there are parents listening because this is Canada's largest spiritual talk show or something like that. I don't know what they say about us. What do you say to parents that are listening who suspect that their kids are gay and yet they don't agree with it, and so they're avoiding it, and they don't really want to talk about it? And what do you say to parents about this? You know, especially parents with religious stuff in their lives that might make them think that, you know, something's wrong with their kids. What do you say to them?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with your kid. You just need to deal with it and get over it. Being gay does not make your kid evil or wrong.
Man. Well, I don't even know you. Look, everybody's going to be proud of you. I can't imagine someone looking at this book and looking at you and being a jerk to you. And again, if they are, please give them my, you know, let me have their information. I'll find them. But I am very, very proud of you. And I'm, again, I don't know. All I'm saying is what you went through sucked, and I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, Alex. Joanna, you're still on the line, right?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, so Alex, we'll let you go. We want to be mindful of your time, and we'll talk about you behind your back now, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, Alex.
Bye.
Joanna, thank you for staying with us.
Sure.
How did you first get in touch with Alex? What was the connection that you guys made initially?
So Alex has a fabulous legal team that when she finally escaped, came to her aid and worked with her and helped her really fight her way back to be with her family. It's what she always wanted. She wanted to be with her parents, but she wanted to be not sent back to conversion therapy. So, you know, a few years after the case had ended and Alex was about to turn 18, one of her legal team got in touch with me because they knew some of my previous writing about Mormon communities. And they wanted someone to help tell Alex's story who would do it in a way that didn't demonize anybody, including the parents, you know, and the community, you know, to recognize how difficult this was for everyone, as Alex said, and to tell the story with as much respect for people of faith as possible. So they brought me in.
She seems like a soft-spoken young lady and, you know, maybe nervous because it's her first radio interview. You heard a good chunk of it there. I know your line dropped, but you heard a good chunk of it.
Yep.
What do you think we didn't get from Alex as far as who Alex is? You know, what do you really want us to know about who Alex is?
Alex is very tough. She is soft-spoken, but she is very tough. I mean, this is a young woman who had no idea where she was and basically ran in the middle of the night, I mean, towards town. And this is also a young woman of great love. She wanted to go home to her family. She wanted to be with her parents. And they reconciled it, which is wonderful. But she just wanted to be there as an authentic person. So, you know, I am so proud of her. And I know this is all very difficult for her as well. She can only really work or talk about this for, you know, we could only, when we were doing the book, we could only work together for about an hour and 15 minutes at a time before she needed to take a break because she has physical memories from being in an abusive situation that's hard to manage. So I'm just proud of her. I want everyone to know she's courageous and that she's done everything she can to stay in good terms with her parents through this all. And I think it's a real testament to them both.
You know, I wanted to ask her about, you know, her parents' faith and if her parents' faith changed or modified or their spiritual journey changed much, you know, what the correlation is or was between them opening up a little more, or is it just, you know what, we've lost our daughter, we need to just smarten up?
You know, here's the thing about Mormon people is in our theology, in our religion, family is forever. I mean, family is a huge part of our belief system to the point where, you know, in our particular form of theology, families go to heaven together, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that deepest feeling, that deepest core belief, I think, won with her parents. You know, they're still very observant, practicing regular Mormon people, but like so many Mormon families who find out they have a kid who's gay, you know, they're faced with this choice, this terrible choice, my church or my child. It puts them in an impossible situation. And a lot of families are like, no, we want to be people of faith, but we're not letting go of our kids. And, I, you know, it's been a big journey for the entire community.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about the Mormon Church and the recent policy change that they had in November. Can you help our listeners understand a little bit more about that?
Sure. So in November, and it was quite a surprise to everyone, the church, a church policy came to light that barred the children of married LGBT couples from being blessed as infants in the church, right, from being sort of welcomed into the church community and having their names on the records of the church from infancy and from being baptized, which for Mormons is customary at age 8. So the policy said that any child of LGBT parents would have to wait until they were 18 and then renounce their parents, basically, lifestyle, quote, quote, to join our faith community. And this was really hard on members across the belief spectrum from, you know, way out there, you know, unorthodox people like me to really some observant believers, because the New Testament's so clear, you know, suffer the children that they should come unto me, you know, the unequivocal welcome that Jesus Christ offered to children. And then to have a policy that says, we're not going to baptize kids because their parents are gay. And everyone's really been scratching their heads about why. And the best, you know, the best rationale any of us have is that the church was worried about some legal consequences for allowing underage children to be raised in the church that teaches that homosexuality is gay with gay parents, that there would sow a conflict in the family that would put the church at some legal risk. But, you know, the fact is Mormonism is a family faith. It is an intergenerational faith. We want our families together. There are plenty of grandparents who who say, you know, I don't care if my kids gay. I want to take my grandkids to church, and if it's okay with the gay parents. And there are plenty of LGBT Mormon folks who say, yeah, I want my kids to have all the good things from my faith tradition and stay in touch with the community. And this policy has really broken a lot of hearts.
Do you think it is ever, I don't know enough about you, Joanna, to know if you can, forgive me for wording this poorly, but if you can answer this question without some sort of baggage or agenda attached to it.
Right.
But you know, just from a struggling and wondering point of view,
yep.
You know, I'm sure outsiders must want to ask you what I'm going to ask you, which is, I'm sure a lot of people, when their religion makes them choose in a way that they don't want to choose, end up having a really hard second look at their religious beliefs,
yep,
to decide if what they really believe, if it's true or not, or if they can continue to believe it.
Yep.
So where have you wrestled and landed with that? I mean, obviously, you're still a Mormon. You're not Orthodox. You're calling yourself a non-Orthodox Mormon. I don't even know the terms.
And a lot of Mormons wouldn't even recognize those terms. I mean, look, exactly the process of struggling and wondering you describe, I've absolutely been through it.
Sure.
I've been in it for 20 years.
Wow.
I have a very long argument with God. And, you know, and as do many Mormon people, we grow up in a tremendously beautiful and compelling faith, misunderstood, but still some real beauty in it. And you become of age into these really hard questions, heartbreakers, and, you know, really the struggle around LGBT people and their families has been very difficult. And a lot of people have taken a second look, and, you know, there have been at times signs of understanding and increased progress from the church, but the last year has been pretty discouraging. And so, you know, I'm speaking to you from a real moment of humility. You know, I wanted to be able to have this book come out at a time when I could say it is absolutely getting better for LGBT people in Mormonism. And I'm not sure I can say that right now. And I really want to be able to say that, because it is getting better for LGBT people to feel accepted and safe and healthy in the rest of the world. And I wish that were the case in my home faith community as well.
I need to get you back on the show. Would you mind coming back?
Sure.
Hold on. Can you say that with a little more enthusiasm, please?
Sure.
There we go.
Right. Yes, I'd be delighted.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for being good with Alex. It really was her first time on the radio, so I appreciate your sense of humor and your gentleness with her. It was great.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't suck.
Yep.
Okay. Joanna, good to chat with you. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The book, again, is called Saving Alex. The website is savingalex.org. We're supposed to have a lovely picture of it up on our Facebook page, and that'll happen pretty soon. Once you see that picture, you can sign up, click on it, and maybe enter in for your chance to win a copy of the book. Yeah. I've got it in my hand right here.
It's an interesting book.
You can't have it, Tim. This is the book we're going to give away, Tim. Stay with us.
Each of us was created for something. We just need to figure out what it is and find the courage to do it. In How to Be Here, best-selling author Rob Bell shows us how to realize our dreams, live in the moment, and joyfully do the things that make us come alive. Through engaging stories, biblical lessons, and insights from Rob's own life, How to Be Here will give you the tools to notice and even enjoy your life. Like Stephen Pressfield's classic, The War of Art, How to Be Here by Rob Bell will inspire you to seek the life you were created to lead. How to Be Here, available where books are sold.